do welcome in our friend Jamie Thomas, who covers the Winnipeg Jets. And Jamie, first of all, how have you been enjoying this Jets season as a whole? It's been a long time since we've had you on. They're near the top of the Central. How much fun has this season been for you?
I think it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I think you look back last year, you're all excited about the new coaching staff and the new opportunity for everybody. And, you know, they got such a great start and there's all those good feelings. And we all know what happened kind of afterwards. But this year, outside of what we've seen the last, you know, say 2 weeks or so, I feel like the team's been very consistent and very comfortable in the system, understanding what has to be done, not leaning on their goaltender too much. And you've had lots of, you know, you've had injuries, but they fought their way through it. So I think there's not much where you can complain on a daily basis about what the season has brought. You know, it's you're always looking at the standings right now to see what Colorado and Dallas are doing. You know, certainly there's been a lot of push from Nashville as of late. So I just think there's not much, as I said, you can get worked up about. And I think my favorite story so far this year has been really Laurent Brossoit and the goaltending he's provided the Jets in his second go around with this hockey team. And, you know, the fact that he said recently that this is the healthiest he's been in a long time, and playing without pain for the first time in his pro career. So the quality goaltending that he has given them is something that's kind of the Jets certainly missed last year and kind of, I think, have missed since he departed. So to answer your question in a long-winded kind of way, it's been a fun ride, and I think there's a lot of reason for optimism as we head down the stretch drive here.
I'm always trying to strike a balance, you know, in my job. I'm not a fan. I'm covering the team, trying to be as objective as possible.
Yeah.
With,
of course,
trying to balance, yes, being critical, pointing out flaws, going over mistakes, but also try not to nitpick too much, because they are still just 2 points out of the first place in the Central. They have 41 wins in 65 games.
Yeah.
They're a very good hockey team. And that brings us to where we're at right now, where they have been inconsistent over the last little while. What are you seeing right now from the Jets as we look at how they've played in March?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty, right, with before the trade deadline. Not so much where the direction they were headed, but who's coming in or if there's anybody on that roster going out. They've been dealing with the flu bug for a significant amount of time. And, you know, anybody that's had whatever illness is going around understands how long it takes to recover from it. So I think there's what we've had all year is really we haven't had the Jets fully at their best because there's been somebody missing in the line, whether it be Gabriel Vilardi or Kyle Connor or Mark Scheifele. We can go down the list of players missing action because of injuries or illnesses and the like that. So we haven't seen this team at full power, full capabilities. So I think, you know, that plays a role in right now in the consistency that they're having. Also, everybody's ramping up right now, and now you're adapting to everybody being ready for you and everybody being at their best instead of, you know, what we were seeing earlier in the year. Not that everybody wasn't playing poorly and the Jets were, you know, overachieving or anything like that. It just gets harder to win right now. So you're looking to get to that next year. So whenever that kicks in, and I feel like it's going to be reasonably soon once everybody gets over this flu bug that's going around and, you know, people start returning to the lineup from injuries as well, I think you're going to start seeing the consistency kick in too. So, I mean, what we saw in Vancouver, you could kind of see coming because of the second day of it back-to-back. And, you know, Vancouver probably were a little miffed about how they got handled by the Jets in the first meeting between those two teams in Vancouver. So you knew they were going to come out like a buzzsaw, and the Jets didn't look like they were ready. Well, last night, it just looked a lot – they looked slow yesterday, right? And I don't know where, you know, what – the cause of that is you're just going to have those types of nights. And then I think you kind of have to give Nashville credit too, because they've ramped up their play and they're, you know, with Jets, the playoffs are a certainty. That's not the case for Nashville, and they're trying to find their best game right now. So it's been interesting to see, and that consistency that they're hoping for and finding, I believe, will get there. And you've heard Rick Bowness consistently. They're a good team. They care a lot. That's why I think this is going to turn around pretty soon. But it's to me, it's really challenging to play a team like Nashville without your best centerman, a team that's heavy. And what is Mark Scheifele so good at? You know, grinding down the wall down low and behind the net and getting those loose pucks out to everyone else. You're missing some size up the middle too without Mark Scheifele against a bigger team like Nashville. So it's really hard to quantify what Mark Scheifele, having him out of the lineup, really means. It's not easy not having your number one center on most nights, never mind against a team like Nashville.
Do you have a true sense of how sick the team is?
I don't, but I just, like, you know, there's just, you keep hearing how the bug's been around and it keeps going through, right? It's going through the room, and that's never a good thing. And you probably would like it to go through, you know, it's good that it's going through quadrants, or if you want to look at it that way, because you don't want everybody out for such, everybody sick at one time. But man, it's, you know, for, it just feels like some guys are skating in mud some nights. And I don't know, again, if that's the illness or not, my friend, but I'll be very curious to see what Mark Scheifele looks like that if he comes back tomorrow night, or if it's again on Sunday in Columbus or further down the road, whatever this, however long it takes. But I just think that it's a little more, I don't want to say dire than we think, but just the way they've been, the way they've looked in certain games tells me that it's a little bit worse than you think.
Like, Brendan Dillon missed the game against Carolina with the flu. Yeah. That was almost 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know they're not going to make an excuse out of it, and I'm not trying to make an excuse either. And they'll never admit, oh yeah, we were all just sick. They're not going to rely on that. But it's a genuine curiosity, because as any of us who work in any field know, it's tough to do your job when you're sick.
Yeah. And I think somebody, Michael Dick, who's an assistant coach right now with the Toronto Marlies, he coached the Vancouver Giants for a long time, and he was assistant coach of Lethbridge Hurricanes early in my career in broadcasting in the late 90s as I aged myself here. He always said, it's not an excuse, it's a reason. So, I mean, there's a reason behind lots of things, and that maybe this is what it is. And again, I'm not trying to insult Jets fans and saying, you know, they're not playing well because of this, and you know, there is some accountability necessary for not being available in the first period when you know Nashville's going to come out that way, and not being available at your best in the first period when, you know, Vancouver comes at you the way you do. And Rick Bowness talked about today, when Mark Scheifele's out of the lineup, your best player, other best players kind of have to get in there and pick up the slack. That didn't happen last night, clearly, right? We just saw that. That when that doesn't happen, you could see what's going on. They're a little loosey-goosey in their own, you know, their own end. We're seeing lots of stuff coming up the middle that we didn't see earlier in the year. But you know, teams make adjustments to other teams, and so they get to, you know, coaches get paid to figure out these types of holes in other teams' lineup or in their systems. So maybe that's coming into play too. But you know, listen, it's too good of a team for them to go win loss forever here. So. But to your point, man, it is not fun to go to work when you don't feel good. It wasn't fun to go to school when we were kids when you didn't feel good. And certainly not being a professional athlete can't help either.
I remember before they went out to Dallas a couple weeks ago, they were coming off that run of games where it felt like they were getting away with it, right? They beat Minnesota, Chicago, and Arizona in succession. They weren't the Wild game. I mean, they were up 6-1 in that, or 5-1 in that game, but there's the Calgary loss that was sloppy. They nearly let it get away against Chicago and Arizona. And then it's like, all right, well, what happens when they play a really good team? They go into Dallas and they lose 4-1. Then they fall behind 3-0 to Carolina. Then they beat the Sabres, but lose at home to the Kraken. And then they shut out the Kraken and they lose badly to the Canucks. And you look at the best teams that they've played in recent vintage, and they have not played well. Against Dallas, against Vancouver, against Nashville last night. And the Carolina game was one that they were down 3-0 after two and needed a really big third period. The kind of third period you're just, I don't know, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20 times against Carolina, you'll come back and win that game. Is there a concerning trend there, or what are we looking at here?
Well, it'd be crazy to not be concerned. But you also look at, okay, it is unheard of to go into Carolina for anybody. And to be down 3-0 after one period, like I've been to Raleigh many times and have seen the Jets not walk out of there with 2 points. So there's that one. There's the also not even an outlier. The way they played in Vancouver, that's the team that we see, that you've seen for the majority of the season. So yes, there are concerns. Is this thing going off the rails like it did last year? Absolutely not. Because you even think about how did they seem on Monday when they played Washington? And yes, I know Washington's an outlier in the playoff situation, but they had been playing well. They've been scoring almost 4 goals a game for a stretch of 10 games too. They were 7-3, so you can't really knock that win. You don't want to like knock a win. So there was that air of confidence in the dressing room, and certainly with Rick Bowness, they were going to respond after that loss in Vancouver. And Rick Bowness doubled down again today and said they'll respond tomorrow against Anaheim. So when you look at the opponents they've run up against, they've struggled against Dallas, no question about it. You look at last night, it's all about the starts. So that's to me, whatever the defensive structure is, or they're trying to work through it, but you get off to a horrible start in Vancouver, you get off to a horrible start in Dallas, and you certainly got to a horrible start last night. And you look what happens when they score the first goal against Washington, it was just pure dominance. Washington didn't have a sniff all night, pretty much. I can think of one or two good scoring chances that Washington had the other night. So there's that ability to play that way. But now you're looking at how important is that first goal of the game to their psyche? Is that playing a role if they fall behind early or not? So especially against the better teams. If you fall behind 1-0 to Anaheim, is there going to be a real big concern? Probably not as much. But, I mean, you start thinking about later down the road here, these first periods are going to have to be looked at, and you're going to have to be ready to go a lot more than they have been as of late.
So Scott Billick had the stat that since Christmas, the Jets are 3-8 against teams that are in a playoff spot at the time of the game. And after Anaheim and Columbus, 9 of their last 15 games are going to be against teams that, as of this moment, are in the playoffs. That's a certain forging and fire for sure to get your game tuned up for the playoffs, is it not?
Yeah, and I would rather, and this sounds ridiculous, but I would rather you have those struggles and that having those tough types of games rather than just backing into the playoffs and not being at your best, being so far ahead in your division that where you're just resting guys and you're not playing at your best because you've just been so dominant all year long. And then that's really shown over the years. It's really challenging to do. Look at what Boston last year as a great example of the recent one in that situation. So you get through these little lesser games or whatever. But listen, how many times have we seen them go into Columbus and struggle? So there's always these backstories and having tough times winning in certain buildings as well. But man, like there's no better way to, you still have Dallas left. You still have some pretty big games coming up on the ledge. You got Edmonton coming to town here later this month too. So there's enough games to get you prepped up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, where you're not just going to be that. There'd be no excuse for you not to be at your best by the time April rolls around.
Get you out of here on this. We've talked a lot of over the last couple of months about last year. Mm-hmm. Do you get any 2019? I guess this probably wouldn't be a good thing if you did, but 2019 vibes, because that was Nashville, Winnipeg, St. Louis. They finished 199-99 points as the Jets kind of faltered down the stretch. We're not going that far down, right?
No. If you start looking around, you're like, okay, there'd be a favorable matchup in this situation. I don't think there is. And I'm not saying they can't beat anybody, but you're not looking going, oh, it's only this team. Listen, right now it's Vegas and Nashville in the wild card spots. Those are not going to be easy series whatsoever. You're going to either have Dallas or Colorado. Not going to be any easy series. So the quicker they get this going and rectified, which I believe they will, it will be the better, because it doesn't really matter to me where you're going to finish, because the West is. You remember Chevy at the is media availability on trade deadline day. The wild, wild West. That's really what it is. So you got to get your consistency game going a lot quicker here before you get into that first round, because I don't find any of the opponents are going to be like where you would describe it as a fun matchup.
It's going to be very interesting to watch the next couple weeks, isn't it? It's going to be a lot of fun. Jamie, thanks for this. We'll see you at the rink tomorrow night.
You bet, my friend. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Jamie Thomas with Winnipeg Jets, Jets TV. The Winnipeg Sea Bears have made another signing, bringing back Shane Osayande. The 31-year-old from Toronto is a 6'7 forward who is a good energy guy, good rebounder, shot blocker, finished the season 10th in the league for average blocks at 0.9 per game. He only played 13 minutes a night. He also averaged 3.3 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 0.7 assists in Saskatoon at the moment. That's where he went to school. That's where I found him as well when I talked to him earlier today. Started by asking him why he wanted to return to the Sea Bears.
I just thought it was a great opportunity. I love the city. The fans was awesome, you know, showing up to the games and just having a sold out crowds and just the love that they shown. The coaching staff is great, and I kind of love the teammates. You find created a little bond with them, so just kind of wanted to run it back one more year.
So coming into last season, what were your expectations for the expansion season? Did you have any?
Not really. I didn't know what to think. You know, I kind of trusted Mike Taylor, told me it was going to be a great opportunity and that it was a sports city. So I just went over to Winnipeg with no expectations. I didn't even think there's going to be that many fans, and just proved me wrong at every turn. It was a great experience.
How much do you feed off the energy of a crowd like what you had during the first season?
Oh, it's huge. Definitely a lot. Just seeing the little kids, the adults, the teenagers, everybody just jumping up and down, heckling the other players, screaming, the support. It's unreal. It even gives you like a momentum boost, especially when your team is going on a run or you get close to the Elam ending.
And I feel like someone that plays like you do, where you're the energy guy, you're rebounder, you're dunking, you're blocking shots. I feel like that's even more something that you can get that extra inch or two of jump from the crowd.
Oh yeah, that's the crowd is definitely the ones that fuel those putbacks. If it wasn't for them, I don't know if I could get up that high.
So what was this, since the season ended for the Sea Bears in August, where has your basketball journey taken you?
I went back to Qatar. I went back to my old team, Al Shamal, in Qatar.
And how'd that go?
It went good. You know, got to play in the FIBA Wassel, which is a Western Asia Super League, which was a great experience. Got to play some high-level, good competition. And just going back to the same team, like how I'm coming back to Winnipeg, it was nice seeing familiar faces.
And how long were you there for?
Until February.
Okay, so you've been back for a little bit now. When you're moving halfway across the world, how long does it take you to get back into your body and feel like you're ready to train again?
A couple of days, you know, kind of like try to reset, see friends, see family, the loved ones. But it's a job. It's a year-round job. So right after those couple of days, you get right back to it. It's kind of a creature of habit.
I know some players will be playing till pretty much training camp or even beyond training camp in May. Are you done playing until the CEBL season starts?
Not too sure. I'm not sure if I might take a little quick gig somewhere, but right now, currently, no. So I'll probably not be playing and be ready right when training camp starts.
Now, when you say take a quick gig somewhere, what options would be out there for someone to go play for a month or two?
Just stuff like going to South America, maybe. They got some quick tournaments or some leagues that are in the playoffs, and just looking for a boost on their team roster.
Okay, and that's something that if someone is looking for, you're kind of just a player for hire?
Yeah, I'm one of the guys you could call on if you're trying to win a championship.
Cool. What's it like to just this be your life? You know, you're just able to go play basketball all over the world, but also not far from home, and you're in Canada now.
Comes with its pros and cons. Definitely pros and cons. There is some of the pros is get to see places you didn't expect, meet new people, divulge in different cultures, different routines, and just getting to create new life experiences. The only problem is like you don't really get to see your friends and family as much as you'd like, and just being right, like close to home.
Is that one of the perks then of playing in Canada now? Is that, you know, when you're on the road, you're busy and your family's not in Winnipeg, you you still get to see them when you're traveling to the road cities in certain spots, right?
Yeah, I think we have a couple because I'm an Ontario kid from Toronto, so I don't think we go we're there too much this season, but it's still way better than being overseas. It's just a flight away.
Right. Do you ever get to see your family if you got like a week off during the season? You can take a couple days to go home, or are you always just with the team?
I'm kind of always with the team because no matter what, you always. It's such a short season with like 20 games.
Right.
So you're kind of always playing and you got to always be at practice.
What do you think is the thing you need to work on most going into this season?
For me, just cardio. I feel like better cardio can have me on the court for a longer periods of time and just so I could just show my energy and my presence in the game can be really more impactful.
What's your favorite cardio workout? Or is it playing basketball?
Yeah, it's probably playing basketball, or I do like the rowing machine.
Yeah, that's something that as a you're taller than I am. I'm 6'5", you're 6'7". I find being tall really helps on the rowing machine.
Oh yeah, it does. And I don't know what it is about the rowing machine. It just always feels like a nice little fun challenge for me. It's way better than just running on, you know, a treadmill.
Yeah.
Or even cycling for me.
Yeah, to each their own. But yeah, going on a treadmill or an elliptical can be a little tedious for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So this team that's been assembled so far, let's just start with Teddy Allen. What was it like playing with him last year and the kind of talent that he has?
Yeah, he's a great player, you know, a good leader, always willing to go above and beyond for his teammates. And he's, like you've seen, Teddy Buckets, he's always a great scorer, good touch around the rim, can shoot the three, find the open man. So it's always great playing with great talents.
And what about some of the new guys coming in, like David Wencat and Alex Campbell, some veteran Canadians coming in?
They're good guys. They're guys who are known in this league. They've done their job. Alex Campbell, like you said, he's a champion. Also, I guess one of the leaders and with three pointers made and field goal percentage. So these are some great additions that we can have to our team that we all feel that will make us better.
How do you feel about your role going into this season?
I feel good. I feel confident. I feel like there's a lot more I can show. There's a lot more I can do. And just trying to get there on time. Last year, I kind of came late. So I had to kind of get adjusted to the team and learn the plays and everything. But this year, coming on time could really be helpful for me.
And the team isn't fully assembled yet. You still have more signings to make. But coming off a season where you're an expansion team and still went 12-8, you know, still fighting for first place in your conference the whole season, does that lay the groundwork of expectations that, oh, this team could go all the way for sure this year?
For sure. We're kind of just trying to establish a winning culture. And I feel like our first year, we, like you said, we laid down the foundations. The coaches did a good job on with the mindset, the mentality, the hard work, you know, just being a strong, hardworking team, always battling for the rebounds, diving for loose balls. I'm just trying to set a culture here that, you know, we're not a joke of the league, and we do want to be there at the end, and we do want to win on championship weekend.
So when you come back to Winnipeg, what's your favorite place to go to outside of the gym?
Ooh, my favorite place to go to in Winnipeg outside the gym. I'm probably forgetting the name, but it's either going to be a driving range or a driving course or a golf course.
You're a big golf guy.
Big golf guy.
Do you have to get custom clubs to fit your size?
Oh yeah, for sure. Had to extend the lengths on the irons.
Okay. And so I'll get you out of here on this then. Have you ever had a hole in one?
Nope. I'm still trying.
You've been close?
Still trying. Nope. But, you know, it's try to stay positive. It will happen. I'm not sure when. Probably on a par three, maybe.
Maybe. You never know when it's going to happen. And maybe it's this year in Winnipeg. We'll see. Shane, appreciate your time. Thanks for this. And best of luck as you get ready for the season.
Thank you so much, Christian. Have a good one.
Winnipeg Sea Bears, their season begins in just over 2 months. May 24th is their home opener against Scarborough. 2 days before that, they're in Saskatchewan to face the Rattlers, May 22nd. That's when their season will open. Training camp opens 2 months from yesterday, May 13th. Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again. Come on, and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to